Welcome to this intermediate Ableton Live 12 lesson on jungle kick weight, glue, and arrangement. If you've ever had a TNB loop where the kick felt weak, the bass felt too huge, or the whole low end just kinda fought itself, this lesson is for you. We're going to build a section that feels tight, heavy, and connected. Not just loud, not just distorted, connected. Like the kick and bass are part of the same engine. And that's the big idea here, in jungle and darker drum and bass. The kick is not just a transient. It is a rhythmic event. It shapes the bass line, it drives momentum, and it helps glue the arrangement together so the track feels like one machine instead of separate parts. First, let's think about the job each layer is doing. One layer handles punch. One layer handles low weight. One layer handles motion. If one sound tries to do all three, the mix usually gets blurry. So we're going to split responsibilities properly and keep the groove disciplined. Start with a kick. In DNB, a good kick is usually short, focused, and weighty around the 50 to 100 Hz area. It should hit hard, but it also needs to get out of the way fast enough for the bass to speak. Load your kick into a drum rack or onto an audio track. Solo it and listen carefully. Ask yourself, does it have enough low end without getting boomy? Does it stop quickly? Is the transient clear enough to cut through? If the kick feels muddy, open up EQ8 and make a gentle cut somewhere around 250 to 400 Hz. That's often where the boxiness lies. Then try drum bus for a little more density and transient snap. Keep it subtle. A little drive goes a long way. If the kick still needs more body or perceived loudness, add saturator with soft clip-on and just a touch of drive. The key is control. Indeed NB, a kick that looks huge on the waveform but sounds floppy will wreck the groove. You want a kick that feels decisive and vanishes quickly. Now let's build the bass around the kick, not against it. This is where a lot of people go wrong. They write a bass line that competes with the kick, and then they try to fix it later with compression. Better move, write the bass to speak around the kick from the beginning. For a jungle or rolling DNB track, I'd usually split bass into two parts. A clean mono sub, and a mid-bass layer with character and movement. Start with the sub. Operator is perfect for this. Use a sine wave on oscillator A, keep it mono, and don't widen it. If you want a little pluck or movement, you can add a very slight pitch envelope, but keep it simple. The sub should be stable and reliable. On the sub track, use a QA to clean up anything unnecessary above the fundamental area, and then use utility to make sure the width is at zero or close to it. If needed, add a compressor or glue compressor for gentle control, but only if it really needs it, then write the rhythm. A classic rolling DNB bass line often lives in the gaps between the kick hits. That's where the bounce comes from. If the kick lands on the downbeat, try bringing the bass in just after it, or on the offbeat, or with syncopation on and counts. Shorter notes often work better than long ones if the groove starts to feel crowded. Now let's separate the sub from the mid-bass properly. A common reason low end falls apart is that the sub and mid-bass are occupying the same space. So we're going to treat them like different roles. The sub handles the foundation. The mid-bass handles the attitude. On the mid-bass track, you can use wavetable, analog, operator with detuned oscillators, or roar if you want more aggression. Then high pass that layer around 90 to 120 Hz so it leaves the real low end to the sub. After that, add some saturator for harmonics and maybe a little chorus ensemble or phaser flanger if you want movement. Just be careful with width. If it gets too wide, check mono and pull it back with utility. This separation is one of the biggest differences between a rough bass line and a serious DNB low end. The sub stays clean. The mid bass brings the menace. Now let's glue the kick and bass together. The easiest way is sidechain compression. Put a compressor on the bass bus or on the sub track, sidechain it from the kick, and set it up gently. A ratio around 2 to 1 or 4 to 1 is usually enough. Keep the attack fast, the release around 50 to 120 milliseconds, and aim for only a few dB of gain reduction. You do not want to crush the bass into a breathing effect unless you actually want that sound. In jungle and darker DNB, the best result is often tight and natural, just enough ducking to make space for the kick. If compression starts to feel too blunt, try shaping the bass by hand instead. In Ableton Live 12, you can use automation or clip envelopes to dip the bass around kick hits. That's often cleaner, especially if the bass is rhythmic and sidechaining starts to flatten the groove. Now do the same kind of thinking on the drums. Route your kick, snare, hats, and percussion to a drum bus. On that bus, use glue compressor with a slowish attack, auto or medium release, and only 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. You want cohesion, not smashed transients. Then maybe add a little saturator for density and use EQ8 if the bus feels boxy around 250 to 500 Hz. This makes the drums feel like one performance instead of separate pieces. Now, let's add weight without destroying the low end. A lot of people think weight means more bass. Usually it means better harmonics, better perception, better density. Drum bus is great for this. It can make a kick feel more solid, more compact, more finished. Use drive sparingly, and only use boom if it genuinely helps the track. Saturator is another big one. It adds perceived loudness and harmonic presence, especially if you keep the drive sane and use soft clip. EQ8 helps you shape the body and trim the clutter. One really useful move is parallel processing. Create a return track with saturator, drum bus, and EQ8. High pass the send if you only want harmonics, then distort it, then clean it up a bit. Blend that underneath the dry signal. Now you've added pressure without losing the punch. That's a very DNB-friendly move. Now let's talk arrangement, because this is where the track starts to feel serious. A loop can be technically correct and still feel weak if the arrangement never changes. DNB needs movement. Even if the core groove repeats, the energy should be shifting every 8 or 16 bars. Think in phrases. Bars 1 to 8 can be a stripped intro. Bars 9 to 16 bring in the full kick and bass. Bars 17 to 24 add a variation or a fill. Bars 25 to 32 can create a breakdown or a switch. Then bring it back harder. You don't need a massive rewrite every time. Often, a tiny edit is enough. Remove the bass for one beat before a drop. Let the kick hit alone before the bass returns. Drop out the hats for half a bar. Add a ghost kick or a low tom fill into a phrase change. Small subtraction can make the return feel huge. And that's a really important mindset shift. Heaviness is not just about adding, it's about contrast. If every bar is packed full, nothing feels heavy anymore. For the mastering side of this lesson, we need to talk about pre-master glue. Not final mastering yet, just the glue stage that helps the whole section feel cohesive before you print it. On your master or pre-master group, try a very light EQ8 for broad corrections, then glue compressor at around 2:1 with a slow attack and auto-release, aiming for maybe 0.5 to 2 dB of gain reduction. Then a tiny bit of saturator with soft clip-on. If you want a limiter, use it only to check rough loudness, not to smash the track. And here's the important part, do not try to master a broken low end. If the kick and bass relationship is wrong, no limiter in the world is going to fix that. A few common mistakes to watch out for. Don't make the kick too long. A long kick tail fights the bass and blurs the groove. Don't let the sub and kick hit at full strength at the exact same time without any planning. Don't distort the sub too much. Keep distortion mostly on the mid-bass. Don't overcompress the whole mix. Too much glue kills bounce. And don't forget mono. The low end has to survive mono checks, club systems, and small speakers. Here are a few pro-style habits that really help. Tune the kick to the track if you can. A kick whose fundamental supports the key often feels much heavier. Use ghost notes or tiny percussion hits to keep the groove alive. Let the mid-bass carry the edge while the sub stays simple. Remember that the heaviest tracks are often the ones with more space, not just more gain. And use automation as an event, not a constant. A filter move at the right moment can feel bigger than another layer. Let's finish with a quick practice challenge. Build an 8-bar jungle DNB loop at around 174 BPM. Use kick, snare, hi-hat, sub-bass, and mid-bass. Put the sub in operator with a sine wave. Put the mid-bass in wavitable or roar. Sidechain the bass to the kick. Put glue compressor on the drum bus. Then automate the mid-bass filter down over bars 5 to 8, and bring it back at the loop restart. When you listen back, ask, does the kick still hit when the bass comes in? Is the sub solid but not muddy? Does the loop feel more alive by bar 8 than it did at bar 1? If yes, you're on the right track, so remember the core idea here. In drum and bass, weight comes from balance. Short kick, clean sub, character in the mids, controlled glue on the buses, and an arrangement that creates space, tension, and return. If you can make the kick and bass feel like one organism, your tracks are going to start sounding a lot more serious and system ready. All right. Let's get into Ableton and make that low end hit.